Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Desperate House Witches. I'm Torian Wallace.
I'm joined as always.
Yes.
And we are back from the great beyond known as Atlanta, Georgia. But before we get into that, we got to do our business. Desperate House Witches is brought to you by the amazing one herself, the incredible Dorothy Morrison. Check out www.wickedwitchstudios.com, and if you need international shipping, Wicked Witch Studios does their international shipping through The Angry Cauldron at www.theangrycauldron.com. Check it out. Always great goods. So, yeah, we were souther, we're further south, however you want to put it, at the one and only amazingness that is known as Mystic South. So the Mystic South Conference this year was fabulous. There is a live tape of it on our page, also on the Mystic South page. We are very excited tonight because we are doing the postmortem with one of the main organizers herself, the incredible Star Bustamante. And I'm just waiting to see how she's feeling, how she's doing, what kind of a mood she's in. You know, that's our star. Check it out. She cracks that whip, and we all jump. So I'm very interested to see how well it went for everybody else. So Mystic South is probably, if not one of, then the premier pagan getaway of the year for us. I know I certainly celebrate it as my main vacation of the year, or what I like to call witch camp. It's witch camp indoors, because glamping is my thing. I am too old to put my happy ass on the cold, cold ground. I did that for many, many years, and guess what? I am now at the age where I'm like, no. So Mystic South gives you the great opportunity, because it's a conference and not a festival, it lets you know immediately that it is an indoor happening. It was definitely, this year's was definitely bigger than last year's. Definitely bigger. It was fantastic. Everything went well. We didn't lose water power. We didn't lose air conditioning. We lost nothing. It was amazing. The staff was great. Saw a lot of new faces. Lots of new faces. It was very nice. The staff at the Atlanta Ravinia, the Crown Plaza, they're fabulous. What a great staff. Every need we met, we had an awesome time. So, and thankfully, my sister actually got to go this year. That was awfully cool.
Yay!
I would say.
Oh my God, I had so much fun. I really did. It was just, and I got a quick aside, and I know I put it in the show page, but shout out to the Patrick family. We love you guys. You guys were awesome to party with. But yeah, it was just amazing. It was a combination of the indoors and outdoors and just water features and pagans galore. It was just beautiful. I had the best time. I really did.
Good.
Yay.
Yes, it is a lot of fun, fantastic workshops. Lots of great entertainment. The night travelers were there. There was a DJ. There was karaoke. There was open mic night. And, of course, there was Us Live, which we're also very happy to do at Mystic South. Always fun. This year we did it. We did a live feed. We've never done that before. That was novel.
Yeah,
and we appreciate all the folks that made that happen for us. So thank you to them. I'm sorry, sis, you were going to say something?
I was just going to say, you know, thank you, Jay, for setting that up. It was amazing. We appreciate it.
Okay. What else do you want to talk about?
Sorry.
What else do you want to talk about?
I'm still catching up on sleep.
Sleep? What's that?
Yeah, I know. It's like, I hated to leave. I really did. It was amazing. You know, if you get a chance to go next year, and I'm hoping our guest is actually in the queue, so we can ask her soon.
Well, bring her on.
Okay.
Let's do this.
I want to find out if there's going to be a next year, and I have to save up because I'm going to save up a lot of money because that was so much fun. Hold on. Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. I fell asleep there for a second.
Oh, no.
I still have not caught up on my sleep.
So how are you?
I think I'm mostly recovered. Wow. It's hard to believe that it was just a week ago that we were all set up in the Camellia Room, and you guys were broadcasting both live and live on Facebook from the conference.
Wow.
It was great. We had never done that before, and, you know, Jay was kind of concerned, and I said, are you kidding? This was great. This was like one of the greatest experiments ever. We had such a blast doing it. I was like, oh, this was fantastic. We're going to do this next year. So it was a lot of fun. And you have to say, this year, it was even more spectacular than last year's. And last year's was pretty spectacular, actually.
Well, you know, it ran about as smooth as I think you can hope for an event to run. And
yeah.
I think that it proves that last year was not a fluke. So that's pretty reassuring from my standpoint anyway, because, you know, we didn't want to be a one-hit wonder, so I think we've managed to prove that, you know, we can sustain this.
I'm really glad about that because this is my go-to destination every July. This is my big vacation. This is what I wait for, so I'm very happy to know that it's going to continue. The speakers were great. The workshops were great. We had such a good time. Everybody was a blast. Yeah. I just don't know if it could have run any better, really.
Oh, well, it can always run. You know, there were little things, nothing that anyone probably would have noticed, but things that I noticed because, you know, I'm that way.
Yes, you are.
While we're on the subject of next year, I just want to tell you that the conference will run. It'll be a week later next year. It's the 19th through the 21st, and then of course the on Thursday the 18th will be the meet and greet and early check in and all of that. So I guess basically it's the 18th through the 21st. But yeah,
fantastic. I love having my dates in advance. I can now go into work on Monday and say, oh, by the way, next year's vacation, here you go. It was great.
Well,
I have to tell you, I did not get to spend a lot of time with all of the headliners. Nasasi, I regret I did not get a chance to speak with, but Sangoma Olojoye, love her so much. She is amazing. She's actually going to be a guest on, I believe, in November. More about that to come. But She's fabulous. Everybody was fabulous. I mentioned her specifically because I spent more time with her, I think, than almost anybody.
She is something else. I love that woman. She is she is amazing. I'm so glad that she agreed to come to and be a part of Mystic South this year. I want to see a show. I want to hear a show with Tony Kale and Nisasi on it together, because I think that would be just tremendous also.
You know, I did mention that to both of them, actually. And Tony, I believe, is all about it. I've not heard from Nisasi yet. I assume she is extremely busy. And we understand that, so we will try again to catch up with her a little bit later. But
I will do everything within my power to help facilitate that. So
I appreciate that would be a great thing. I haven't had a chance to even check in with the rest of the Mystic South staff. How's everybody doing? You know, Heather Green and Ryan and all of the people that you know, your staff that you put together, Marla, and everybody was just amazing.
We really do have, I got to tell you, these are some of the nicest, most wickedly funny and competent people that I have ever worked with. And mm-hmm. just for point of reference, I'm going to name them all because I cannot say their names enough.
I know.
Heather Green is our hotel liaison and also kind of my partner in crime on Mystic South. Marla Robertson handles all of the workshop submissions and coordinates all of that. Mm-hmm. Her wife, Gypsy Teague, is our vendor coordinator. Ryan Dennison handles papers, which means he gets to read all of the submissions. And Stacy Pissarro is our social media and web guru, and she does a tremendous job. And then this year we had Kat O'Sullivan as our volunteer coordinator, and she in conjunction with Oriana Miller, who worked registration pretty much all day from Thursday when we got in and to all day Friday and all day Saturday. I can't tell you what a huge help that was and how much I appreciate her. And also, I have to give a big shout out to the Raven and Crone, because they handled all of the book sales for our VIPs. Everybody that had books, they handled all the sales for that. And also Cherry Hill Seminary, you know, I don't think we really publicized it maybe enough, but Cherry Hill was a huge part of, you know, they did their annual retreat and where they offer workshops for their people. And also Holly Emore, they did her formal graduation at Mystic South on Sunday. You know, anybody who doesn't know about Cherry Hill should definitely go and look them up. They are the only pagan university that exists, and we really, just like I'm a big supporter of the Wild Hunt, I'm also a big supporter of Cherry Hill. You know, and the Alexandrian Library, because all of these things are so important, you know? I mean, these are our peeps, and we need to support them. But Mystic South, I feel like Mystic South was a success. I haven't gotten really any negative feedback yet. However, I don't know if the surveys have gone out yet, so I'm sure, you know, because you really just, you can't please everybody, at least not all the time.
Right.
But, I mean, I've had like pretty much zero negative feedback. And I think that's about as best as you can hope for. I think by the end on Sunday, I was walking around asking people if they had any complaints, and really was coming up empty. So, you know,
they're like, nope.
I mean, the only thing I heard anybody say was that they wish they had more time to get to every single class, but that's not possible. You know, that's just the way life is. And, you know, I have to pump you up a little bit here, Miss Starr, because, you know, out of lemons, she makes lemonade. Unfortunately, one of the presenters was not able to make their workshops this year, so it came up as being something called Porch Time, where Ms. Starr hosted a bunch of us sitting around just talking about topics that we were interested in. And I have to tell you, Starr, I enjoyed all of the workshops I attended very much. I truly did. But some of my highlights of my time at Mystic South this year was definitely your Porch Times, if you want to tell people about that.
Wow. Well, it's kind of that's you know, I think that's kind of hilarious.
Why?
Simply because, well, first of all, the whole reason that we did Porch Time, Terrence Ward, who writes and is an editor for The Wild Hunt, due to the failing health of his mother, decided that he really couldn't take the chance to come to Mystic South, considering his mother's condition. And so we were left with, like, three slots that were just open, and this was just, like, the week before, so we really weren't sure, okay, what are we going to do with this? Yada, yada. And I said, well, why don't we use it for just an open forum discussion, and we'll treat it like you would if, you know, when you stop by to see somebody and you're sitting around the kitchen table and you're having, a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, and use it like that, type of very – informal, casual conversation like you would have at the kitchen table.
Right.
And it was just, I don't know, I feel like things are so incredibly volatile right now, politically, culturally, socially. I mean, it's just, everything is just really, it feels so tense. You know, I think I've said before, it's like if you filled a glass of water too full and, like, the water is basically bubbled up over the rim.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's not going to spill until you touch the glass. But, like, if you so much as touch it even a tiny bit, like, the water just goes everywhere. And that's how the whole world feels to me right now. It's
just, yeah.
The only thing holding it in place is surface tension. And I think that sometimes we can offer all the classes in the world, but a lot of times, having a safe place to have a discussion about whatever it is really important. And, initially that was my goal for the panels, was to not announce panel topics until, during the conference, but in order to really to have the people that you need on your panels for whatever topics you're going to discuss, you have to kind of plan that out in advance. So
right.
Doing Porch Time kind of really filled that gap for me personally. Because I think a lot of times, the conversations that we have, like when we would go out to smoke, that those are the conversations that don't often get pulled up in just regular spaces. If does that
right.
make sense?
It's about having a safe place to express whatever you're feeling about what's going on in the world right now, or anything else for that matter. Because I do recall that, you know, you certainly didn't limit the topics that we could have addressed, but I was really happy that a lot of it seemed to center around people getting along, and, you know, more interaction between people who are not alike. And I really enjoyed that, because I take those conversations with me and I have them with people, you know, in my everyday life. And I find it very beneficial, because I had learned some things from Sangoma when we were in the middle of one of them. And, you know, I took that information into work with me the other day, and, you know, the people I work with are like, yeah, you know, that's pretty interesting. Let's talk about this. So we had, you know, a long hour discussion about, you know, stuff that we had discussed at Mystic South. So I just think all of that is really beneficial. And like I said, you made lemonade out of a lemon type situation. And it's something that I really hope you'll keep in future Mystic South.
Yeah.
Well, we're seriously going to look at that. You know, there have already been some suggestions from staff to work that in next year.
Because
apparently, even though we never had huge numbers for any of the discussions, we did have. Excuse me just a minute. I have a feline here who apparently thinks that she needs to be on the radio.
That's okay. Bring her on.
Oh, she'll never, if she starts talking, she'll never shut up. Trust me. She's worse than her tender. The people who did attend, apparently they got a lot out of it, just like you did. So, yeah. And so there's already been some feedback on that. You know, I just think it's really important to have conversation. I mean, when you get right down to it, almost all of us are more alike than we are different. When you distill things down. And the more that you can highlight that and get people to make those connections, then the world can only be a better place, honestly. You know, my rant for the whole weekend was always the whole purity thing. And Evo used a phrase, in fact, just a little while ago online, and now I'm going to have to look it up, because it's a term from the 80s, and it so fits.
Even
where that conversation is concerned. But I mean, I don't know. I am just so thankful for all of the various people that chose to come to Mystic South. And I mean, it felt to me like it wasn't just that people came to Mystic South. It was that they completely, engaged, you know. I mean, it wasn't like they just came and observed. They embraced it and they engaged whatever the subject was, and I just think that's really, really good. And I also think that it makes the case for not really wanting to be much bigger than what we were this year, because I think you lose that level of intimacy and connection. And the term that I was trying to remember is horizontal hostility. So when you have people that are, you know, basically that are categorizing, you know, it's categorizing themselves, you know, in the same category as you, but they're nitpicking, basically. You know, that you're not pure enough, or you're not, you know. You know, you're not falling into that narrow bandwidth of signal as to how they themselves think, you know, identify or think that you should identify.
Yeah, yeah. Very true.
Huh.
Yeah. So I want to know what your favorite, what was the, other than porch time, what did each of you attend that really stuck out for you, or that you felt was really good?
Oh, wow. There's a lot.
What's your favorite thing?
My favorite thing was Sangoma's What's Your Wakanda State of Mind?
Yes. That was mine, too.
It was really good. I was at that workshop,
yeah.
And yeah, it was really good. I was really really impressed.
Yeah,
with that workshop
too.
And the level of engagement. You know, I mean, I think the level of engagement was really important.
I noticed that this year people seemed a lot more, I mean, granted the first year everybody's feeling it out. A lot of these people had not engaged before with each other. But this year was like the complete opposite. Everybody was, you know, in everybody's circle of space. It's like no matter who walked into the room, no matter who you passed in the lobby, no matter what time of the day it was, everybody was so happy to see everybody else. It was really communal, very family, you know, even with just our Mystic South crew, everybody seemed really close and engaged with each other in a way that they, I guess that we needed to be this year, because things feel so disconnected that, you know, anytime we have each other in a large group, it's comforting, it's welcoming, we feel accepted, we understand each other. It's really a beautiful, very large family. That's what I noticed this year as being even bigger and better than last year.
Well, I think, you know, you think the political climate has a lot to do with that, too. I mean, last year we were, I don't think we were quite where we are this year as far as horrificness politically.
Yeah.
I mean, this year, horrific is just, it's a daily thing now. Horrific is just always until certain things have a chance to change and grow. But yeah, I mean, it just seemed like we were all much, even though there were more of us, and it seemed like there were a good bit more of us this year than last year. You could speak to that because I don't know anything about the numbers whatsoever, but I certainly don't think I saw any faces that were not happy to see everybody else's face.
Yeah, no, I mean, there was almost zero drama as far as I can tell, or at least that I heard about or saw, and unlike last year, I was not tied to registration, so I was pretty much like a pinball that had been shot out of a machine, just pretty much everywhere. And I don't think our numbers were not that much greater than last year.
Okay.
I think going in, we were at, I want to say, probably about maybe 260, 270. And then, you know, I'm not exactly sure what we took in. I know I counted everything, but I honestly don't exactly remember what that number was. But we were a little over 300, so that's really not that many more people. Because I think last year we were at around, you know, a little over 250. I think going into last year. So just, you know, maybe, I would say we had, you know, probably 35 to 40 more people than we had last year. But I think maybe the difference is that we had people who stayed the whole weekend. You know, more than what we had last year. And also that we had greater engagement in that people actually, you know, were more involved in whatever was going on.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that's good. And, you know, I mean, one of the things that we do is for every workshop that was going on, you know, we go in and we take a head count so we know how many people how many people went to each workshop. What did our numbers look like? You know, and also, and we do that for flow also. So to see, you know, what was the level of interest in various things, and you know, try to kind of balance that against, you know, what other workshops were going on at that time. You know, I mean, obviously, when you have a headliner that is presenting, you know, in some cases it almost feels unfair that you're going to have people presenting against them. But I mean,
mm-hmm.
honestly, not everybody's going to be interested in whatever your headliner topic is. You know, that's just a reality.
Right.
Just like not everybody's going to be interested in, you know, going to Ritual or listening to music or listening to Desperate House Switches or doing karaoke.
Right.
So, however, I have to say, having said the magical word karaoke, anytime there are T-Rexes singing backup at karaoke, you pretty much got my attention, which that had to have been the most hilarious point of the conference for me when
mm-hmm.
my husband snuck up on me at the bar and said, "You have to come to karaoke," to which I was like, "Oh, please go away." And he said, "No, seriously, you have to come see this." He did not tell me what I had to come see, but he's like, "It is hilarious." So I went, worked my way up to karaoke, and when I walked in, I don't remember who was singing, but there were three T-Rexes that were all singing backup for whoever was performing, and I just about wet myself. I laughed so hard. I mean, honestly. It's
hilarious.
It pretty much is. And some of the pictures are just to die for.
Yeah, I was sitting outside when I saw them crossing through the lobby. I was like, what the hell is going on? But I was also deep in conversation, so it was like, it was a conundrum. I was like, do I go follow the T-Rexes or do I continue talking about necromancy? You know?
Yeah.
Now that's a dilemma.
Yes.
Oh my God! Yeah, that was. There's a picture of them in the elevator, that is just absolutely hilarious. I don't know if it's made its way to social media yet, but they're all three in that glass elevator that just runs from the
ground level
exhibition
to the
hall.
Floor.
Right.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
It's, it, you know, oh my gosh, it's just absolutely, and they're all like kind of squished in there, but it's because it's glass, so you can see them. It's pretty hilarious.
Squish dinos.
Yeah.
That was a negotiation of engineering, the likes of which I had never seen, because I saw that picture, and I'm like, how did they plan it? How did they get in it? How did they get out of it? Because it looked like even just one would barely make it in there, because that elevator is, I mean, it's a decent size, but it's not huge. You know, you could fit four or five normal adults in there fairly comfortably, but when you throw that dino suit on, I don't know, it makes things a lot bigger and wider. I was kind of marveling at the whole situation.
Well, Stacy said that to watch them get into the elevator was just damn near the most hilarious thing that she'd ever seen. I mean, because they're too tall to actually get in the elevator, you know, like to just walk into it. So, yeah, just, exactly. You know, but she said, yeah, it was just absolutely just something else.
Our people are creative, it's nothing, I will say.
Yeah. You know what? I think we need blow up or the inflatable costumes. Maybe not T-Rexes, but some kind of inflatable costume for next year. Oh, an inflatable costume ball.
Oh, please no.
There wouldn't be enough room in the bathroom for everyone. It would be six people dancing, and that would be all we could fit. Those costumes are huge.
Plus, you got to remember that Tuatha Dea is coming back next year.
Yes!
So excited. Fantastic. I'm so glad they're coming back. Oh, wow. We see we're getting the scoop. You got to listen to Desperate Housewives just to get the scoop on what's happening.
Yes.
What other sneak peeks can you tell us about? Are you at liberty?
Well, I can't really tell you anything else because I don't really know anything else other than I know when it's going to be and I know where it's going to be and I know at least who one of the musical acts is going to be, and that's it. That's all I got.
Can I assume that it will be at the same hotel?
Oh yeah, it's absolutely at the same hotel. I had already signed a contract going into to this year.
Oh wow! Now that's confidence.
So,
I like confidence. That's good. That is very good because we love that hotel. That hotel is exquisite.
Oh, yes.
Well, it's going to be even better because they're going to make a whole lot of changes and upgrades to it. I don't think much has been done with that hotel. Since it was built. And
wow.
It definitely has some issues. And I don't think that it's been tended real well in some regards. Not to say that there was anything seriously wrong with the hotel, but it's definitely shown its age a little bit in some areas. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to be – they've been already doing some renovations but they're going to be doing even more. So it's probably going to look completely different when we come back next year. So,
wow.
And
fingers crossed
what
for an open pool.
Yeah, hopefully the pool will be open next year. But yeah, the hotel staff, I mean, I just can't say enough nice things.
Yeah.
About the hotel staff, they just go above and beyond to make sure that things run smoothly, and they're all just super nice. One of my favorites is Gerald, who is the manager of the concierge. He is so funny and so nice, and just when we came in this year, he was like, he was so glad to see us. I mean, you know,
aww.
It's just really, it's nice to receive that kind of a reception. So, yeah, I can't say enough good things about the hotel, really.
Yeah, the morning after the show, you know, we had like 9 pounds of cherries and 3 pounds of grapes and we took it downstairs and presented it to the staff and said, we hope you like fruit. And they were like, really? You're giving this to us? And we're like, yeah, of course we are. So we gave them this huge container of fresh fruit, and they were just so pleased. They were really excited. And they're the nicest, most, I mean, humble, grateful sweet people. They're really an awesome staff. They're, whoever owns the hotel should be really proud of who they have representing them. Everybody from, you know, the person that brings up your bags to, you know, the person at the front desk. Everybody was just completely lovely to us.
Yeah, they really are. And it's funny that, that you took them all the fruit because we had, like, a bunch of muffins and sweetbreads and all kinds of stuff that were left over from various things. And obviously I was not hauling the stuff back home with me. And nor was anyone else going to take it. And so I took it to the – I just put it all in one container and took it to the front desk and and said, hey, would you guys be interested in this? And they were like, you're going to give us that? And I was like, well, yeah, if you want it. And they're like, oh, they, I mean, they just were – they're like, that is so sweet. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, I mean,
so, good. You've pumped them up on sugars and breads and good things, and we pumped them up on fruit. It's a balanced diet. We worked it out.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
So tell me. So while you're trying to get information out of me, I'm just going to get some information out of you.
Uh-oh.
I want to know what would you like to see next year?
What would I like to see next year? You mean as far as presenters?
Yeah, presenters, types of workshops. This is your opportunity to be heard.
Oh, you know what I would really love? I would love, and I know this sounds extremely pedestrian, but I think it would be so fantastic if we could have somebody, you remember last year somebody was leading us in Tai Chi? I would love it if next year we could have somebody come and, like, do stretching with us and kind of limber us up a little bit, because I think something physical would be really nice, you know, kind of a greet the sun, maybe somebody to teach us yoga that is beyond the laying down position. I don't know what that's technically called in yoga, but thanks to Lisa Wagner, I now know that I do yoga nightly. But I'm talking about, like, really beginner type stuff because I'd love to get into it, and I think it's just good for the body. It's more movement than impact. And I would love to see something like that.
Okay. Well, you know, the first year we had two things going in the morning. We had Byron chose to offer a basic Tai Chi class, and she did that every morning. You know, maybe if she comes back next year, she will opt to do that again. You know,
I'm gonna go grab her.
And Kanu did a breathing like morning meditation thing every morning too. So I will definitely, you know, when you fill out your survey. You know, fill it out and add that stuff in, and because we do, you know, when we ask for feedback, we read every piece of feedback that, you know, every suggestion, we really do look at that. We read it, we put it into a graph, we analyze it because we're freaky that way. Because we really do. I mean, it really is important to us to, you know, we want to know, you know, we want to know what people are thinking. We want good feedback. You know, there were some really amazing moments for me over the whole weekend where I had some interactions with people that I felt actually was beyond productive, in that, you know, one of the things that is really important to me with Mystic South is that because we have a platform, that we use that platform to elevate those voices that otherwise might get lost in the mix. You know, I mean, and I think that, which is one of the things that why I have such respect for the two of you is because you get what it means to have a platform and how you can make that work, you know, not just for yourselves, but for other people that maybe their viewpoint has gotten, you know, has gotten washed out or is not getting heard. And I think that that's really super important. And, you know, so I got some really good insight into ways that we can use our platform to help some of the voices that be heard that are not being heard maybe quite as much or in the way that they need to be heard. And I think that that's really, really important. And, you know, just being a bunch of white people trying to get people of color to come to your event is no small feat. I know that.
And I'm really grateful for the people that did come and were open and, you know, shared. My thing is about sharing experiences so that I understand, have a better understanding of somebody else's shoes. You know, they always say you don't know someone's life until you've walked a mile in their shoes. And I'm working on something, you know, in my day life about, you know, giving people that experience, seeing what it is like to walk in someone else's shoes. And it's a project I started pretty much the day we got home. So, because, you know, there are people who are privileged and don't even realize that they are privileged. And if you had to spend a day with everyone looking at you, you know, because they don't look the same as you do, and judging you based on that, which is ridiculous. But that's, you know, that's what normal people think. But a lot of people don't even realize that white privilege is an actual thing, which is something that astounds me because, I mean, I'm, you know, next to a lot of my friends, I am extremely privileged, and I am painfully aware of it. But I don't think you can you can sympathize, but you can't empathize if you've not had some kind of a shared experience where, you know, yes, you felt that, and now I know what it is to feel that, not to the same degree. But most people will never even attempt to experiencing it. So we're trying to create a scenario where you can experience it. If for a week or a day or, you know, that's still being fleshed out in conversations. But I think unless you have experienced the kind of pain another person has had, you really don't understand. I'll give you a prime example. My husband, Mark, has always told me that kidney stones are as painful as childbirth. Now, I have had children, so I know what childbirth is like. And he's never had a child, but I've never had a kidney stone. So we're each talking about comparative pain, not having experienced what the other person has experienced until this year when I had gallstones, which was quite the surprise and completely unexpected. And I, you know, after I had finally experienced that same level of pain, I looked at him and said, you know what? You're right. Having a baby was much easier than these fucking stones. So it's kind of, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of that premise of until you've actually been put in that situation where you can feel it, you really don't get it. So that's, so this Mystic South for me was a lot about having those hard conversations and having people be open to having those conversations. And for me, that is just you know, that was so magical for me at least. And I really appreciate you for letting us have those conversations in a safe space where we could express it all.
Well, you know, I started out having those conversations kind of early on in order to get to get people like Sangoma and Nasasi, you know, reassure them that this would in fact be a safe place for them. That, you know, and you know, the whole privilege thing, I mean, it is such a thorny issue.
Yeah.
For so many people. And I think as women, we probably have a little bit better understanding of what that is like. But, you know, even so, our experiences as white women pale in comparison, I think, most of the time to the experiences of most women of color. And it's a difficult subject to broach. And I feel like we made significant headway in really kind of bringing that out into the light of the day. Not so much in specific conversation or programming, but just by having people of color trust us enough to come and to have a positive experience and, you know, and to come and see, you know, and see that, yes, there really was programming, you know, for them. Because I think that's the other thing, is that a lot of times for people of color, they look at an event, you know, and I think this is true of any, you know, cultural group that is not specifically white, that, you know, you look at it and you think, well, is there going to be anything there for me? And so, because it's not just getting them to come. It's like, you know, in order to get them to come and want to come back, you have to offer programming that is going to be something that speaks to them.
Sure.
You know, I mean, and I think as women, we can all kind of identify with that, because how many times have you gone to something and you're halfway through, you're just like, you know, geez, you know, because none of it is being geared towards or addressing anything from a female point of view or how women might be impacted at it. And I think that's especially true of, you know, business conferences and,
sure.
you know, yeah, because that definitely don't market to us, and most of the time they don't give two shits about what we think, you know?
Very true, very true. Being in the corporate world for as many eons as I have been, I definitely have to say there's a lot of credence to that. I know that there are some places that are trying to make it more female-friendly, but, you know, there's always this subtle air of resentment, I feel, between men and women when they try to specifically gear something for what one person as opposed to the other. And we still have a long, long way to go just between men and women. Imagine how amplified that is between, you know, people of different hues. I mean, we're so far behind where we need to be just as human beings, you know, when you get down to the nitty-gritty of it. But I don't know, this Mystic South, man, it opened up a whole lot of things, and, you know, I made beautiful connections with beautiful people. I heard wonderful, you know, and it wasn't just the presenters. The attendees were kind to each other and you know, wanted to hear each other speak in a room. It was lovely. It was welcoming. It was warm. I felt like everyone was welcome and everyone had a place to say what they felt. And that's just a really rare experience. So I'm really grateful to you guys and the whole staff that put the convention together. it gets better. Last year was incredible. This year was even better. I don't know how else to say it.
Well, thank you for that. I think maybe we're just because we're clear in our, I think being clear in your intent a lot of times makes all the difference. And so I think that's definitely part of it. Everybody on the staff is, we're all pretty clear in what our intent is, why we decided to do this and why we keep doing it. And, so I think that's probably a big factor in that is the fact that, we're clear on why we want to do it, why we want to keep doing it, and what our goal is. So I think that intention definitely makes a difference. But I'd be lying if I didn't say I wasn't extremely pleased to hear that kind of feedback from you, because that is our goal. That's what we're shooting for. That's huge.
Well, we're grateful to be part of it. And I think, it's such a rare experience to have something like that. But in what you created this year, I see the potential for that to be a continuing conversation and a continuing part of Mystic South to try to unify. You don't have to be on the exact same path to have like-mind thought and be unified as a people. And I think right now, especially now, the more pagans are getting along, the happier it makes me. I cannot stand when I get on Facebook and I see these quote-unquote witch wars. They drive me fucking nuts, because to me it's childish and it's high school and it doesn't get anything accomplished. Only through community and being, you don't have to see eye to eye on everything. That's not really important. What is important is being able to look at each other with a level of appreciation and some kind of understanding that we have a goal in mind, and part of it is to just relate well to each other and to love each other and build each other up, which there is not enough of. And these are dark times we're living in, and we need to be able to protect each other, whether it's at a convention or out on the street. If you see your sister or your brother in trouble, be there to help them. That's what we're supposed to do as pagans, not just as people. That is our job, is to look out for each other and build each other up and send energy when necessary, or physically be there when necessary, or just out of love. There's too much. People are way too divided as far as just even in, forget about politics, even in pagan circles, there's so much division. It's like, this is ridiculous. Nobody's getting anything done. So it was just, I don't know, for me it was a truly magical experience. And as much as I love the workshops I attended, Front Porch, man, I'm about the Front Porch. It was great. It was great. You can do a Front Porch twice a day, every day for Front Porch time. Hell yes.
Well, it definitely, I feel like the feedback was really positive. And, I love the fact that every time I went out front to have a cigarette, there were these crazy conversations going on that were super in-depth. I have to tell you a story. This is so hilarious. Our good friend Anomalous Thracian, as both of you know, spent a fair amount of time out front having a cigar. I will just say that, you know, I love the Thracian, but he is not to everyone's taste. However, and I didn't realize this until after the conference, and Thrax and I were having a conversation through Messenger, and because I remember when this occurred, but I didn't realize who he was talking with. So I came out on the front porch, and I saw that he was sitting up against the wall behind where the couches were, and, you know, and going on as Thrax is wont to do. And, you know, I was just popping out for a brief instant because I had a moment. And or I might have been even out there to look for somebody else. I honestly don't know why I was out there, but I was out there for a moment, whether it was to smoke or just I was looking for someone or whatever. And noticed that Thrax was sitting over there having a conversation with some people, and, you know, and then continued on my way. Well, come to find out, y'all are going to love this, the people that he was sitting with, who were sitting on the ground with him and sharing cigars and possibly adult beverages, were no other than the IHG guys that were in town, some from England, that actually work for IHG. And they were having a very lively conversation about human rights and civil rights.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And for those of you who don't know, IHG is who owns the Crown Plaza. So, I mean, that's just, I was just like, oh, how very interesting. So, you know, our dear Thrax making friends wherever he goes and shining a light on human rights, which is his path. But how hilarious is that? I was just like, no, you did not. I was like, that's who you were sitting there with. He's like, yes. Yes. Yes, apparently so.
And
how awesome is that, though? That's fantastic.
Yeah. And I got to say, real quick, there was a family reunion going on while we were there. And I have to say, I had some of the most enjoyable conversations with them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was an interesting, you know, coupling. Or grouping, you know, all of us.
Where'd you go, sis? Where did she go?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I don't know what she did, but come back, sis. Anyway, but she was talking about this family a lot, so I know they made a huge impact on her because she was like, I think I've been adopted by them. So one of the family reunion groups adopted her, so I'm kind of hoping she's going to tell the rest of the story when she dials herself back in.
Can you hear me?
Well,
oh no, you
now
went
we can.
Now we can hear you. What happened?
I don't know. I swear I didn't touch anything. I was like, the hell is going on?
And just so everyone knows, she's the one controlling the show. I didn't do anything.
No, you didn't. You didn't. That was totally on my end. And
she's gone again.
What the hell? Stop muting yourself. Jesus, Mary and Joseph, what the fuck? Well, that's weird. That's just weird as hell. Now, I don't know. You know, at the beginning of every show, she unmutes me, and I know somewhere in the back of her mind she thinks this is some kind of a revenge plot, but I swear to you it isn't. She's running the entire show, so I don't know what's going on. I don't have the ability to mute her at all. She's
She's out. She's not muting herself. She does not understand. She's messaging me that she does not know what's going on. That's weird as hell. But anyway, until she comes back to finish the story, do you have any other anecdotes that you would like to share from Mystic South?
Oh, golly. I'm thinking, I just had such wonderful conversations with people. I mean, it just seemed like no matter where I was having really fascinating and very conscious conversation. People were very conscious and very aware, and that was awesome. To see that level of engagement and awareness in people kind of restores my faith, hope, I don't know, something.
No, I understand what you're saying, because these are, you know, the conversations we were having at Mystic South are not conversations that people normally have occasion to have. So it was a very, you know, I mean, and I loved the conversations we were having. They were fantastic. But it was fantastic to have that safe space to be in together and not fear. You know, nobody jumped down anyone's throat, as it were, for maybe using an incorrect pronoun or you know, not explaining themselves fully. You know, for the most part, it was a very smooth, even-keeled, fantastic thing. And I really can't get over how beautiful it was really, you know how they used to say in the 60s, man, it was a beautiful experience. That's really how I feel about it. And I know that sounds completely, completely hippie and goofy, but I mean, when we left, you know how a lot of people get kind of sad when a great convention is over? I was kind of excited and feeling really renewed, like I could go back to my daily life and kind of carry that energy with me. You can't just keep that energy in the bubble of a convention. You've got to take that goodness and spread it around, you know, and bring it into your daily life, because if you just keep it in that bubble, you lose that experience. It's an isolated incident, and I think it's so important to carry that good vibe into your daily being as much as humanly possible, especially with the way things are right now, you know, in our government and whatnot, which is another friggin' topic star that you and I could probably destroy for about 6 hours. It's just unfucking believable. Okay, so no, back to the good vibe. See, my Mystic South vibe brings me back to that peace and love, and it's going to be okay thing. So maybe
get Dorian back there just now?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
We can. Hooray! Now tell your story before we lose you. Oh, you're kidding, right? Did we already lose her again? This is not happening. Sis! Oh, this is just not right. Something is going on. Star cannot...
Crazy.
Can you? I don't get it. I don't get it. She starts to talk, and all of a sudden, she disappears. This is so weird. All right. My poor sister is probably dying from frustration right now. But anyway, Star, We should probably, I guess we should wrap it up at some point soon, because she's just going to have a hard time until we figure out the electronic situation. But is there anything else you would like to discuss before we shut it down?
Actually, there's a couple of things that I want to say.
Please do.
I got some really, really horrific news on Tuesday, and I don't know if you know Alex Bledsoe. He is a longtime friend of mine. He is an author. He writes the Toothless series, as well as he has several series that he's written, and he just wrapped up the Toothless series, which some of Tuatha Dé's music is based on his writing.
Right.
10-year-old son Charlie died suddenly on Monday evening. Still don't really have any details on exactly what happened, but it's just one of the most horrific things that I can imagine happening to anyone, to lose your child. And I just want to mention him. And you know, he and I go back a couple of decades, and he was part of a group that I was involved with when I was in Nashville, and that's been, you know, almost 25 years ago. Just really difficult time for, so, you know, anybody that has any extra mojo or love or good vibes that they can send to Wisconsin, to Alex and his family, that would be much appreciated.
Absolutely. I'm so sorry for, you know, your friend's loss, and by virtue of your friend, you know, your loss as well. That's very sad. I can't imagine losing a child. I would be so devastated. I don't think I could get out of bed.
Yeah, I just have found myself weeping, you know, periodically, and it's just really. I called and ordered. I'll tell you a story. Do you want to hear a story?
Sure.
Okay. So I called and ordered flowers for the memorial service on Saturday to be delivered, and was completely undone. And not only did I undo myself, I managed to undo the florist as well, because they live in a really tiny town.
Yeah.
And the whole town is grieving, and, you know, and so, like, the florist and I, like, made each other cry. So, that was just it's pretty unbelievable. It's like, I can't imagine, I mean, if I feel like this and the whole friggin' town feels like that, I can't imagine what Alex and his wife Valette are feeling right now. It's just horrible beyond words.
No, I can't even imagine.
So I just wanted to just have a little shout out on that, because I just think that you never know what's going to happen, and it's really important to tell people, the people that you love, you need to tell them. So.
Yep, I agree.
You know, hug your kids.
Yep.
Kiss your husbands, wives, spouses, significant others, cats, critters, you know, because your friends, your family, you just don't really know what is liable to be around the corner. You know, that's where I've kind of been a little bit today. But I wonder how well I would have fared had I not been riding the wave of Mystic South. You know, because the energy that we brought in for Mystic South and was co-created by everyone who attended was amazing and wonderful. And I was definitely been the highlight of my year, for sure. And I wonder how well I would have managed hearing this horrible news had I not been buoyed up by that. So,
wow,
I just don't know. But
I know my sister wants me to tell you that she is so terribly sorry about Alex's son, and she sends an "I love you."
Oh, she is the sweetest. You
she
both,
is.
you both are amazing, and I'm so happy to have you be part of not only my family but also the Mystic South family. I really am. You all do. You all are just awesome. That's all there is to it.
Well, we love you, and we are so honored to be a part of it, and we are so grateful that you keep inviting us back, so we kind of are glad that you seem to like us. So we are very grateful, Star. My sister and I are very proud to be part of Mystic South, and we're ecstatic that you guys invite us back. We love doing it. We love what you're doing. We love being a part of it, and we can't thank you enough. We are really so happy to be part of it, and happy to push whatever projects and, you know, your readings at Raven and Crone, and, you know, your card pull for the Wild Hunt, and the Wild Hunt itself, which we are, of course, big supporters of, you know, not just reading it, but also we've been making some other things financially for them. So, you know, we're loving it. We're loving it. We're proud to advertise on it, and we just love this community, and we can't thank you enough for bringing us all together, because you actually are the catalyst for a lot of good things happening in our lives. So whether or not you even know it, you're the reason why, you know, we met Heather. You're the reason why we're involved in the Wild Hunt and Mystic South. And we can't thank you enough. We really can't. We love you.
Well, I love you both too. And, you know, I just have to say that it's so not about, you know, I mean, I think that if you can do one thing, you know, that makes a difference, then do that thing. And Mystic South would not be Mystic South without every single person that participates and engages and chooses to participate on whatever level of engagement that they feel comfortable with. And I mean, and that is the honest to God truth. It just wouldn't. It takes everybody, and you know, as much as I'd like to, you know, say, oh yes, I did that, I didn't do that. I was just a tiny part of it. You know, I am just one raindrop in the friggin' ocean, and none of this would happen without everybody's participation and engagement. I mean, and that is really what community is all about.
It is.
I mean, truly.
It really is.
That's the whole point. You know, what affects one of us affects all of us. And
the more we learn
to, you know, to pull together and have each other's backs, then the world is just an infinitely better place. I mean, that is just absolutely how it works.
I agree. I know my sister agrees too. Absolutely. we've got to be I know, it's like I'm speaking for her, and I really don't like doing that, but I kind of have to, because we can't hear. She's at least sending me confirmations. Yes. I have evidence that what I am saying is okay with my sister, so we're all good, folks.
It's so bizarre that she can't, that she keeps cutting out. That is just absolutely bizarre.
It is the weirdest. She says I'm her ventriloquist tonight. Oh, honey, I'm so sorry. But, you know, this is the shit we do for each other. You know, how many times have I been, you know, work to death at my day job, and my sister's like, I'll cover for you tonight. Don't worry, I gotcha. You know, it's like we do have to back each other up. And it doesn't mean everybody always agrees. We've all had disagreements with each other, but the foundation is we love each other. We're there for each other. We understand each other. And that's really what it's all about. And the more people you can extend that to in your life, the better off we all are. And I think that's just the upshot of it.
No, absolutely. Well, and I mean, I think having the courtesy, doing somebody the courtesy of at least listening to what they have to say is really important, you know? Being willing to listen, which is probably the first part, the first step of providing a safe place for any conversation to take place, regardless of what the subject matter is. You know, you have to be willing
to listen. Absolutely. Oh, of course. And, you know, half the premise of our show, aside from, I mean, we had two premises for our show when we first started it going on 7 years ago. The first premise was, we're witches and we're just like everybody fucking else. We have bills and shit to pay. We got kids to raise. We're not that different from folks that are not pagan. We wanted to draw the comparison, but we also wanted to show the similarities, and there are a lot more similarities than not. We just believe in different gods, older gods, whatever you want to say. That's number one. Number two was, we don't do scripts and we don't do written interviews because people need to be themselves and they need to relax. So we kind of, our show is kind of based on porch time, where the guest may be a writer or an organizer like yourself, or a tarot reader like yourself. You do a lot of shit. But it's not about grilling you about your latest project and why did you write this way and why did you say this that way. We wanted people to come and act like we were just hanging out. You can talk about, you want to talk, you want to push your book, boo-boo, push your book. But we're not going to force you to do tricks. Nobody is a show pony here. We're all here to hang out and to have a nice conversation about whatever the guest wants to talk about. And you know that that's the other half of the premise of our entire show. So porch time to me in person really resonates with me because that's what Sis and I try to do every Friday night. You know? We have a guest. We have porch time. What do you want to talk about? We've talked. I'll tell you what. We've had lots of witches come on that want to talk about politics. They want to talk about football. They want. I mean, depends on the season, of course. We do what we do, you know. And we welcome people in like you're a friend. Come into our house for, you know, an hour or so and hang out. Just hang out with us. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. We love talking about all kinds of different shit. We don't have to do a spell a week, or we don't have to do a incantation a week, or, you know, we're people. We're people just trying to get through life together in the best way we know how, you know? And you brought that live to a whole bunch of people. You and the Mystic South staff have just done, and you've done a yeoman's job of pulling this together. I don't even know how you did it. I'm afraid I don't want to know because, you know, it's like politics and sausage. You don't want to watch them being made, but you love the end result, hopefully. You know, and this was just great. I mean, this was great.
The thing is that it's actually, you know, it's actually kind of fun. I mean, you know, yeah, there are things that, you know, that go into event planning that are boring and tedious and a pain in the ass. And there's, you know, well, anytime you're at my house, there's a lot of swearing going on no matter what, what's happening. Because I swear a lot.
Oh, yeah.
My husband will verify that. But, you know, it's looking at the possibilities is what really motivates me. You know, obviously we're not doing this because we're trying to get rich. That's for damn sure. I'm just happy that, you know, I can cover my expenses. That's, you know, if I can get that part down, I'm pretty happy. But
sure,
the idea that we, you know, provide a venue to connect people, to
highlight the fact that the South is not just a flyover zone, that there are actually people and practitioners that live here that do, you know, all across the South that do amazing things and are amazing people.
Oh, definitely. Everyone is so engaged and so involved and so willing to help. If anybody needs anything, there's a staff member close by to say, hey, what's going on? What can we do for you? I mean, it was amazing. And I got to tell you, it's a rare experience to find that. And I mean, I just can't say enough good things about this year's entire situation. It was fabulous. It really was. You guys pulled it together. And not only while we were there, but I have to tell you, every morning now since the convention, I wake up and I am so blessed by the new friends I've made, and seeing everybody interacting even past the convention. It's not like, okay, the convention's over, we all go back to our separate corners. We're all engaging daily. I mean, I see a Thunder did a live feed, and she's so beautiful and wise. And, you know, Nasasi posts something, and she's beautiful and wise. And, you know, and you post something, or Lisa Wagner posts something, or anybody, or you know, Jeff posts something, and it's like it brings me right back to that feeling of happiness that we're still, even though we're now back to our homes, we're still connected, we're still engaging, and I think that's so important that we're still engaging, we're keeping it going, and that's just a real testament to Mystic South and the power of bringing people together when they go home and they still want to stay connected. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. And it makes every morning bright. It makes every morning a thrill for me when I look in my news feed and I see what my, you know, and I'm very big on family because I was not raised well. As everybody who listens to the show knows, I was not raised in a loving environment. So for me, building family is very important. The family you choose can be sometimes even more special than the family you were born into. So I love my extended family. Ryan teasing me about mayonnaise, and, you know, Heather and I screaming about Hellman's.
Duke's mayonnaise.
No, Hellman's, baby. Hellman's. Northerners will always say Hellman's. But, you know, laughing about No Miracle and Miracle Whip. I mean, just the ability to continue to joke back and forth, and nobody's getting, you know, nobody gets butt hurt because somebody disagrees with their point of view. That's what it's all about. Being able to talk without judgment and without hostility, it's fantastic. I know I'm sounding very fucking hippie 60s right now, but I don't really give a shit. That's kind of, you know, that's the world.
It's your show. You can be however you want to be.
That's the world I want to live in. I want to live in a world that says, yeah, you know, you've got people you can talk to who care about you and, you know, are interested in your opinion, and they're going to share their opinion with you, and they're not afraid to do that, and that's awesome. That's just awesome. And there's not enough of that, especially on social media. So like I said, when I wake up in the morning and I see all my new cousins and relatives, you know, from Mystic South posting stuff, it gives me that warm, fuzzy feeling. You know, who doesn't want to feel love and happiness? Come on. That's what this shit's all about, man. That's what it's all about.
It's true. And, you know, like I said, that's about as good as you can hope for. I mean, seriously, that is about as good as you can hope for, you know? I mean, that I had even a tiny hand in any of that makes me feel, you know, great, honestly. I mean, you know, I've always been an advocate of just leave whatever it is, leave it a better place than how you found it. And
there you go.
So, yeah, you know, what can I say? That makes me happy. That makes me feel like accomplishing something.
Yeah. Well, listen, lovey, I think we're going to wrap it for now unless you have anything else.
No.
I'm going to let my poor sister off the hook for the night. Bless her heart. We never got her back. I don't know what's going on, but we're going to have to go figure out our electronics now. So, Star Bustamante, you are a treasure. I love you to pieces. You have no idea how much. I keep trying to tell you, but I don't think I'm expressing it in a way that's making sense. Anyway, but you know what I mean.
Well,
thank you.
I love both of you, and thank you for having me on and being a part of Mystic South and, you know, and all of the things that you and Dorian support. You know, I'm just happy to be a part of all of it. So, you know,
and
Dorian, I know you can hear me. I love you, and it's so sad that we didn't get to hear your Patrick family story. Sad. I'm in
a
club tonight.
She'll probably get a chance to talk about it in the future. But, yeah, my poor sister. I'm going to go try to figure out what the hell is going on. But, anyway, Star, thank you so much again, and we will have you back on probably pretty soon. We'll make arrangements after the broadcast. I'll hit you up for another date. But thank
All
you
right.
so much. Love you to pieces, girl. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. You got it.
Yay, Star Bustamante, who we love so much. She's amazing. All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up for the night. My poor sister, I've got to find out what's going on with her. Anyway, bright blessings to you all. See you next week with Taliesin. Have a great weekend, everybody. Good night.